the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, today's program is about staying healthy, staying flexible, and maybe correcting some of the things that we're not able to do. Joining us on the program today is Judy Barr. She is head of Cleveland Clinic's Wellness and Preventive Medicine. She's their top yoga instructor. And Judy, let's talk about, you know, we all know about the importance of exercise, you know, getting a cardio workout, whether it's running, jogging, on a treadmill, weightlifting as we get older. But one of the most important things as we age is flexibility. Let's talk about that and how that relates to what you do, which is teaching yoga.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you for asking me to be on today. Yes, flexibility is one of the major benefits of yoga. And when we say flexibility, we don't mean that you have to touch your toes or that you have to be able to touch your nose to your knees. Flexibility means just getting more range of motion. So yoga can help us get some glide in our joints. And as we gently approach through a level that is accessible to us, in other words, we're not going to jump in and start doing headstands or handstands, we begin to learn how to stretch with breathing, being mindful, and taking our time. And then we begin to create more flexibility, which frees up our joints, and then we work on strengthening, certainly, so that we can maintain a good posture and a balance. So flexibility is a huge byproduct of yoga. And not only does it help the muscles, but over time, and there's some data that shows for seniors that yoga ultimately can get down all the way in deeper into the body, even into blood vessels, so that we're, with our breath, with enough hydration, we're keeping things moving with that, not only with the circulation, but also moving our muscles.
And Judy, let's talk about, in addition to flexibility, what's really important as we age is maintaining balance, because we've all heard about the tragedies of, you know, people get in their 80s, early 90s, and they have falls, they break a hip, and then their health just deteriorates and goes downhill. Let's talk about also the influence it has on not only flexibility, but also maintaining your balance.
Right. So one of the most important things in my teaching, no matter what age, no matter who I'm working with, is reminding people to sit and stand straight, to watch their posture. And that means shoulders up, back, and down. And that means strengthening the upper back, the core, which is the tummy, the sides, and the back, using our muscles and our tummy. And also beginning to strengthen our legs, right, so that we're able to stand. So first off, we watch posture, seated and standing. And that takes some flexibility, but also strengthening. And practicing that across the board. Every position we do, we start from a nice tall posture. So we're strengthening in order to hold ourselves up. Everybody sit off the back of the chair, right? Move forward. Don't use the back of the chair. That's helping to strengthen you. And remind yourself when you find yourself slumping, it takes mindfulness, and mindfulness is good. It gets us in the moment to pull our shoulders back and sit up nice and straight. Balance is a huge part of yoga. Not only, even if we're doing poses on a chair, because we're moving in space, we have to use our core to hold ourselves up. But as we stand in yoga, we gear from going from 2 feet to 1 foot, moving, eyes opened, eyes closed. I just had a patient the other day say that he was able to avert a fall. I've been working on strengthening ankles as we do this. And I said, if we work on our balance and strengthening our legs and our ankles, and he said he slipped and he didn't fall, he caught himself and he didn't hurt himself at all. So with practice, we're able to maintain our height, meaning we don't lose our height. Yoga doesn't make us taller, but it can help us maintain it because of strengthening and always working on sitting up and standing straight. But it also helps to strengthen us. And that, to me, that was one of the best things I could have heard, because you're so right. Somebody slips and falls, that could be the beginning of the end.
Several maladies that Americans suffer from, and I'm talking about the number one killer, heart disease, blood pressure. Let me ask you this, Judy, how was yoga brought into the Cleveland Heart Clinic, which is world renowned, and by the way, listed as by U.S. News and World Reports as one of the top hospitals in the country? How was yoga brought in, and how are you using it with your patients?
The Heart Institute is one of the, as you say, it's the best in the country, in the world. And our wellness and preventive medicine is a department, say, of the clinic also. And yoga was brought on overridingly across the board is that science shows that yoga can reduce stress. And so when we talk to heart patients, you know, we have the physical benefits, but we also have these mental, emotional benefits of yoga. Overridingly, we're able to help people adjust their stress levels, right? And when we're adjusting our stress levels, it affects our cardiovascular, our nervous system, our respiratory, how we metabolize, how are supporting our immune system. So yoga across the board, the number one piece is it helps to reduce our stress. That takes less of a load off of our heart. In that, we're also creating more circulation, and any movement will help create more circulation. It supports a healthier immune system because we're calming, we're supporting that immune system. We're helping our blood pressure because as we focus and calm and breathe, we're down-regulating that stress response. And then plus that physical benefit of moving and balancing, we just plain feel better. So the reason that yoga was instituted at the Cleveland Clinic is because of its benefits of stress management. And then that overlaps into many of the disease processes, and especially with patients that have any type of heart conditions.
And how does it play with blood pressure? I have read on books on blood pressure, people that have cured their blood pressure problems with yoga. Is that a particular type of yoga, particular, let's say, an exercise form? Explain that.
Well, that's a pretty multifaceted topic, actually. Blood pressure, if we're sitting still and our blood pressure is a little low and our mind starts thinking about something we're upset about, it can raise our blood pressure. But overridingly, what yoga can do is help us to become aware of our thoughts, practice breathing and moving. So conscious, deep breathing helps to downregulate that stress response. And then, of course, the circulation that happens with it. So what happens as we practice yoga, it also overlaps to see that we decide we want to eat. We feel like, oh, I'm noticing how I'm feeling. And geez, when I eat that, I don't feel quite as good. It asks us to look even at our whole lifestyle. And although I'm not sure the exact study you're talking about, if we practice enough learning how to catch our thoughts, to downregulate a bit, you know, if there's a challenge in our body that our blood pressure is not regulated well enough through medicine, with or without medicine, yoga will help, but never to say that we don't have, you know, medical help to do this. This supports any medical work that we do. But overridingly, we can calm that nervous system and practice being able to do it, not just when we're sitting in the class, but overridingly, that can help to lower the blood pressure, but always, always in tandem with our physician.
So when you look at yoga, and, you know, I've seen videos, I've seen, you know, I've looked at books. You take a look at some of these positions. Obviously, let's take somebody, Judy, maybe has some kind of morbidity. It could be heart disease, blood pressure, or something. They're not in shape, maybe. Maybe they're not as flexible. Where do you start? And is there different types of yoga for, let's say, somebody that is beginning, somebody that's older, maybe a lot more rigid, maybe less flexible than, let's say, somebody in their 20s and 30s.
Absolutely. And that helps to come back around to your last question about that study and is there a style. There are a lot of styles of yoga out there, and many of them are geared to younger, active fitness buffs. And that yoga doesn't ring well for even middle-aged on or someone that isn't in good a shape. So the first thing is someone that's looking for yoga needs to find the right style. And that means to be beginners. Ideally, and I'm a yoga therapist, ideally having someone that has more experience with medical situation. A yoga therapist has a lot more training than a yoga instructor. And we're taught medical conditions and how to work with those medical conditions and what yoga tools can help. So style, the experience of the teacher is important. So yeah, walking into any yoga class, ABC yoga class, is probably not a good idea for most people. And if they do have morbidities, or if they do have comorbidities even, finding a specialist that has done that work before, that has a lot of experience, because it's the breathing, it's the taking the time. Yoga does not have to be sweating. I'm doing, you know, an hour's worth, so I'm pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's really not necessarily a stress management type of yoga either. So there are many styles. And my advice would be a yoga therapist or someone with a lot of years of experience, and maybe specifically someone that specializes in what someone is looking for, whether it be heart or, you know, with blood pressure, because that ties with heart.
And Judy, would you look for somebody that works with, let's say, older individuals, which I think is important, because I can remember back in the 20s and 30s hiring a physical trainer and the stuff that they were having me do, and then getting a trainer when I started to work out again in my 60s. And unfortunately, some of these trainers don't realize that your body at age 60 is different than your body at age 20 and 30.
Oh, I would absolutely agree. And, you know, the thing, I also train people to become yoga teachers and yoga therapists. And we can hurt ourselves, or someone can hurt us, by extremes and speed and heavy exertion, right? So between those three, we do want to find someone that is more of a specialist. And luckily, baby boomers and seniors, we kind of rock with our population. There's a lot of us out there. So more and more people, I think, are specializing to help in that. But yeah, one size doesn't fit all as far as fitness goes, from our 20s to, say, our 60s or 70s or 80s. And there's wonderful specialists that can help us make yoga accessible. It's one of the reasons I think yoga has been so long-standing at the clinic, is making it accessible, that someone can do it basically from a hospital room to, you know, a boardroom and everywhere in between. So making it accessible and no harm, meeting people where they are to give them their yoga. That's the key.
Now, Judy, I know with Pilates, they have all kinds of, you know, they have mat work, which you do on a mat. They have things like reformers, Cadillacs, chairs. Is there any kind of equipment that is used in yoga? I know there's blocks and there's straps, but is there any kind of equipment that, let's say, somebody, for example, somebody starting out, maybe 65, 70, might want a chair? Because I know that a lot of yoga work done with people that are maybe less flexible begins with the chair. Is there any type of equipment?
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. There's blocks, there's straps, there's bolsters, there's blankets. But the chair, you know, I get a bum rap because most of the work that I do is with chair. And most people think, oh, chair is just for wimps. I can't, you know. What a chair does is it helps us to become aware of our posture. It helps us to work and isolate the muscle groups. So I can get the front of the thigh in a wonderful stretch that tightens our, we call it our hip flexors, and can pull our back out because it's so tight. And we can really isolate it and perfect it on a chair. So the chair functionally brings the floor up closer. Number one, if somebody can't get on the ground because of a bad knee, you wouldn't believe the wonderful things that can be done on a chair. And it also makes it accessible that I'm at the office, I need to do some stretching. Geez, I think I'm going to do a little basic sun salutation on the chair to stretch, or I'm going to do a cat curl to help my back. So yes, as far as equipment goes, the chair, and I am sold on it. You just can't imagine the wonderful things that can happen, and how so many more people can do yoga than they think, because it's so accessible on a chair. And it isn't just for wimps, I promise.
And for those of you listening to this program, we've included a link to videos and the information that Judy and I have been discussing in this interview. So go to our website, and we'll have a link and you can take a look for yourself. In the meantime, Judy, I'd like to thank you for joining us. As always, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Please come back and talk to us again.
Thank you for asking me. Take care, everyone.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.